You may be seated.
Please join me for the prayer for guidance. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture reading today is from Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went, and when he went out again, and about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It's children's time. Do I have any kids today? Come on up. Come on up, Bryson. Sage, how are you? I know I have a few more. Hey, Trevor and Annabelle, good to see you this morning. I think Amanda's getting a few more for us. Have you all had a good week? Don't all talk at once. Hey, Carson.
Hi.
Jackson and Amanda and little Bobby. Have a seat. Did I ever tell you that I have an older brother, Mike?
No.
No? Well, he's actually here today, and I'm so glad he's able to be with us today. Well, do any of you have brothers or sisters? Yes? Okay. Well, I might be the younger one in my family, but my parents never thought that my brother was any more special. He may have thought that, but they didn't think that he was any more special than me. And they never said, And they never said to me, "Shauna, we love you, but we love Mike a little bit more because he's been here longer." That would be kind of silly, wouldn't it? Our parents loved us both the same. Now, the Easter eggs. It is not Easter, but this is what I had to work with. So Amanda helped me out. I need one volunteer to pick up the 6 eggs over here. Who wants to do that?
Me.
Bryson? And I will give you a quarter if you do that. And you can just put them up in the basket here. All right. So Bryson, thank you. Now I have one more egg, this blue egg over here. Who wants to get that?
Me.
Sage will volunteer. Thank you. And I will give you what is fair. Thank you, bud. Now, I think that I will give Sage a quarter, even though she just picked up one egg, okay? And Bryson, you picked up six. I'm going to give you a quarter because that's what we agreed on, right? Now, does that seem fair that I gave Sage a quarter for only picking up one egg when Bryson picked up six? It doesn't seem very fair, does it? Well, in fact, I'm feeling so generous that everybody's going to get a quarter. And for the little ones, I will give them to Amanda. In fact, I'll give all of them to Amanda. So Amanda at Children's Church will give you some quarters. And she'll keep track of that. So Bryson and Sage, you just give that to Amanda to hold tight for you. I would love to give everybody out here a quarter. We'll pray over these and see if God blooms that. Well, you see, God's love works the same way. He doesn't love you more because you're older or because you've been at church longer. God's love doesn't come in little pieces. Do you know that once you have God's love, you have all of it? Yeah, isn't that a great thing to know that God loves us all and He loves us the same? Now, if you'll pray with me, let's reach up and grab a piece of heaven. Lord, can you pray with me? Thank you for giving us all your love. And help us to love others in just the same way. Amen. Thank you, guys. And Amanda will, if you need more quarters, come and see me. Jesus is an excellent storyteller, but you have to pay attention to sometimes really understand his stories. You've heard the scripture once. You may be familiar with the story, but I hope today that you will see it in a new way. I am going to read it one more time. It's always good to hear it a couple of times for me when I'm preparing. But as I read, I don't want you to just listen. I want you to think about the characters in the story. Who do you relate to? What are you feeling as I read? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. He went out about 9 o'clock. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat?" But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day. Amen. So which character did you relate to? Who did you identify with? And how were you feeling? Did anyone see themselves as the landowner? Did you have his urgency to get the work done and yet have compassion for those that you hired and for those that had waited all day for work? Perhaps you were the unemployed, waiting on someone to hire you, worried about paying your bills and feeding your family, and overwhelmed at the generosity of the landowner. Or are you the worker who worked all day and you received the same as the person who worked only an hour? This is the character I identified with initially. It didn't seem fair. And I had a similar thing happen in a previous job. And I didn't like it. I grumbled and I resented my coworker and I resented my boss, because it wasn't fair. At first glance, I think that we can read this passage quickly and assume that the workers hired later in the day and those hired last were irresponsible or lazy. They just didn't get up in time to get there as early. But there is nothing to suggest that. We can sometimes make quick judgments without ever really wanting to know the truth. If we dig too much for the truth, we may not like what we dig up. It may prove us wrong, and we don't like being wrong. I didn't want to just assume that my initial thoughts about this passage were correct. So I dug a little deeper, and this is what I found. The ones chosen last more than likely would have been the ones who were sick, the elderly, or the disabled. They were not lazy or late. Now, I hope you're paying attention, because this is where my digging took me. Who needed compassion the most? Who did Jesus come to save? Mark 2:17 says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus went to the unchurched because that is who needed him most. The landowner had compassion on those who waited all day to be hired, but no one chose. He saw their need and knew that it wasn't too late to help them. Now, in my own situation when that happened, again, I thought it was unfair. I didn't really think about my coworker having a need that I was unaware of. I was still paid what I was supposed to be paid, and that was fair. I wasn't happy, and I had resentment because I thought that my coworker received something they didn't deserve. Did I really know the whole situation? No. Did I care to find out? No. It was easier to be resentful. God does not want us to wander in the desert the rest of our lives. He wants us to make it to the promised land. And because of this, God is generous with his grace. When the Israelites were in the desert and complained of no water, God gives them water. When they're hungry, he gives them manna. And when they're tired of the manna and they want meat, God gives them meat. God is generous. God doesn't give up on us. And when I read the stories of the Bible and I look at our world today, I wonder why God hasn't given up on us. And thank goodness his love is bigger than our sin. We're going to take a quick look at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, the three lost parables. But I want you to pay attention to what is most important to God and remember, who did Jesus come for? The parable of the lost sheep. A shepherd leaves his flock of 99 to go find the one lost sheep. And when he finds it, he has a party. Verse 7 says, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The parable of the lost coin. A woman has 10 coins and she loses one. And we can all relate. We tear up the house looking for it. And when she finds it, she has a party. Verse 10, just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the prodigal and his brother. The prodigal son was lost in wild living, and he lost everything that he had. And he came home to a father who runs to him and sees him in the distance. And what does the father do? He has a party. And everyone is happy except the brother. Why? Because he missed the big picture. He was angry and jealous and resentful. The prodigal had left home to do what he pleased. The brother stayed and did all the work. He was the obedient one, the dependable one. He was the hard worker. He deserved the party. Isn't that what justice is? People getting what they deserve? But who needed God the most? God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. How God chooses to do what he does is up to him. And most of the time, we may not understand it, and we may not even like it. We think we know how things are supposed to be. And then this Jesus comes along, and he says something like, the first will be last. The last will be first, and the first will be last. And we say, huh? Kingdom living isn't easy. And Jesus wants us to do some really hard things. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other. These things go against our natural instincts. But all things are possible with God. And I think that we can learn to think like Jesus if we start with the first and the most two important commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. I believe trying to do our best to obey these commandments will help us love our enemies and turn the other cheek. And when we begin to understand God's kingdom on earth and the role we play. You know, they make glasses for people who are colorblind. I don't know if you've ever seen the videos on Facebook when they're presented these glasses and they put them on. And for the first time, they see the same world in a whole different way. Wouldn't it be great if we had some God glasses? So that we could see things the way that God does. This is what I see through my God glasses in relation to this story. The initial reaction our human mind has is to suspect injustice, while the heart of God only sees an opportunity to be generous and give grace. What is the most important thing to God? That the lost find their way back to him. That sometimes we find our way quickly. And sometimes we get there midday. And sometimes we don't get there until the last hour. But thankfully, God is still waiting to give the same love, the same grace to all of us. The last will be first, and the first will be last. There is no injustice in this story. The landowner gave what he promised. It's just that those who worked all day didn't think the last deserved what they were paid. But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last, the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" As I stated in the children's time, God's love doesn't come in little pieces. Once you have it, you have all of it. God loves us all, and he loves us the same. And when he does that, we don't always like it, because we're not looking at someone the way God does. We have no right to say who deserves what. We are not God, and we do not know what he knows. This story could easily be a stumbling block if our hearts are not in the line with the heart of Jesus. You see, there's no room for competitiveness in the kingdom of God. We're all working together. But the good news is that we can learn to see people the way God does. Practice makes perfect. When we read God's word, when we pray, when we love God and we love others, then our hearts and our minds will change, and we will look at things differently. We must not forget, at some point, we were the ones lost and needed God's grace the most. And don't you remember how wonderful it was to be found and to receive that grace? Do not let the seeds of resentment and what you think is unfair take root, or it will destroy you. We need to put on our God glasses so that we can see situations. And most importantly, we see people the way that God does. Rejoice. Throw a party when God chooses to extend his grace to those who need him most. And everybody said, amen. I saw this benediction on Facebook. You can be seated. I won't take too long. I saw this benediction on Facebook a few weeks ago, and it was the benediction given by Bishop Woody White on April 26 at the 1996 General Conference in Denver. But before I share it, I just want to say this. This is my opinion. I think that we should come to church first and foremost to worship our Lord. We should learn something. We should fellowship with our friends and family. We should be here to be encouraged, to be loved, and to be forgiven. But it doesn't end there. When we leave church, we should be challenged and determined to love God and others in whatever ways that we can. Now hear these words. "And now may the Lord torment you. May the Lord keep before you the faces of the hungry and the lonely and the rejected and the despised. And may the Lord give you courage and strength and compassion to make ours a better world, to make your community a better community, to make your church a better church. And may you do your very best to make it so. And after you have done your best, may the Lord grant you peace." And amen.